Here's Andy Udman.
Now, the factory farms, of course, are extremely unhygienic, very unhealthy environments to raise animals in. And the food that we're getting from these factory farms is substandard food. It's not as healthy as it could be if the animals were outside on pasture.
Pam, you're even going to talk today about sheep being kidnapped? What is that about?
Well, on Monday morning, these sheep were scheduled to be slaughtered by the CFIA, and when the CFIA showed up at 8:30 in the morning on Monday morning, the sheep were gone. They had disappeared, and some sheep nappers had actually taken these sheep into protective custody to protect them from the CFIA.
So, can you imagine having chickens and a game warden-type punk in a uniform, but they're hiring nothing but the socialist and phony environmentalist? Carbon showing up and literally cornering you. You got five chickens right here. You're going to jail, or, you know, here's a $20,000 fine. This is already happening.
Folks, I understand right now, if you have a very puzzled look on your face, you're going, what the heck was that all about? Chickens? Chickens? You got five chickens and you're in trouble with the law? You got sheep being kidnapped? What is happening to Old McDonald's Farm? Well, what's happening to Old McDonald's Farm is that's not where you're getting your food anymore. You're getting it from factory farms. And the family farms that are still out there are finding themselves under a ferocious attack. Why? Well, we're going to explore that. We're going to keep the phone lines open, but we're going to travel all the way to Ottawa. We're going to travel south all the way to Texas. And we're going to travel right across my desk here where my guest this morning, again, as she always is on Thursday morning at 10 o'clock, the tour guide for this wild and crazy ride this hour is Pam Killeen. Good morning, Pam.
Good morning, Andy.
What's wrong with and what is the factory farm?
Well, what is most tragic about this story, of course, is that if there is going to be some sort of infection, some sort of pandemic, it's going to come from these factory farms. They are extremely unhygienic. These animals are very unhealthy. We've been hearing more and more in the news, not just about the spread of foodborne illness, but also about the abuse or the overuse of antibiotics in these facilities. But what is happening, rather than looking at these facilities to see what the real problem is, which they really are the problem, the solution, of course, is the small family farm.
Let me jump in with an editorial in today's Globe and Mail, lead editorial, part two of two parts, on the future of medicine as we know it is about to end because of the overuse and abuse of antibiotics, and a prime factor is the factory farm. Pam Killeen, take a bow.
Well,
lead editorial in today's Globe and Mail and yesterday. I read all of the editorial on the air yesterday. It's absolutely frightening.
Yeah, and we've been screaming from the rooftops for years now, warning people about not just the abuse of antibiotics, but about the terribly unhealthy food that is coming out of these factory farms. And so, yeah, you know, we can harp on the problem all we want, but the real solution lies in the fact that we have these very, very sincere farmers that are producing what I would call real food, and they're doing authentic agriculture at the same time.
Okay, at the same time, there's an important question before we get to some of our very interesting guests this morning. What's wrong with the food that we have in our stores today?
Well, first of all, the nutrient value is nowhere near as good as it could be or should be. It's overly treated with all sorts of chemicals, additives. It's just not a real food anymore. It's factory food. It's industrially processed food. It's not the way our ancestors would have consumed them.
Well, my doctor said to me just the other day, and I'm a healthy guy, but she said, Andy, you need supplements because the food we eat today, I'm trying to think of the word she used, vacuous, or it just doesn't have the nutrition that it used to.
Mm-hmm. Well, the real solution wouldn't be necessarily the supplements, but going out and actually sourcing your food from a local farmer. And we're fortunate here in London that we do have lots of local farms that are producing this wonderful food where the animals are out on pasture and they're minimally treated. Of course, they're obviously, you know, processed at a butcher, but that all sorts of chemicals aren't added to these foods.
Well, there's a drama happening, Pam, and I haven't seen this in the media anywhere. This is an attack on the family farm, the kind of fam we think of and many of us even came from. Like myself, there's an attack on the family farm, And it's getting very, very dramatic. In fact, this week we had a fascinating incident.
That's right. On Monday morning, 41 Shropshire sheep were to be slaughtered by the CFIA.
Who's the CFIA?
The Canadian Food Inspection Agency. They deemed these sheep as being potential carriers for an illness called scrapie. And so they were up for slaughter on Monday, and they disappeared overnight.
They disappeared?
Mm-hmm.
Are police investigating?
They're investigating that component, but I think really, I mean, the sheep were very healthy. There wasn't anything wrong with the sheep. This is the mystery.
When Pam first told me about this, I said, I looked her in the eye and I thought she was pulling my leg because we've just come past April the 1st. Pam, you're pulling my leg. You said, Andy, we are going to meet the farmer who has the sheep, which have been kidnapped. Introduce.
Right. Oh, yes. This morning we have Montana Jones, and she is the owner of Whole Earth Farm Studio in Hastings, Ontario, and she's the farmer who had these sheep. Good morning, Montana.
Good morning.
Okay, Montana, this is not an April Fool's joke, right?
No, it's not an April Fool's joke. The last 2 years I've been dealing back and forth with the Canadian Food Inspection Agency, and our agricultural minister, Jerry Ritz, because they've had my flock in quarantine, and I've been trying to implement an exemption to their scrapie protocol, saying let's treat these guys differently rather than just wipe out the whole flock, kill them first, and then test, and then find out that they don't have it. Can't we, you know, there are alternative measures. So I've been fighting this for 2 years, and then I got the order about a week ago that they were going to, you know, it was over. We basically had no luck, and they were going to destroy them. So when I went out to do chores before they arrived on Monday morning, they were gone.
Wait a minute. You went out to look after your sheep this past Monday morning, mm-hmm, near Hastings, Ontario, which is near Cobourg in Ottawa.
That's right.
And your 41 sheep were gone.
Yeah, they're gone. There are still some here, but they were penned ready to be, so they were separated because their genotypes are, they only wanted the ones with an ARQ genotype that they considered to be more susceptible.
Okay, Lynn, let me clarify. Pam referred to the CFIA. Most people wouldn't have a clue who they are. The food police. They're going to swoop in on Monday and do what to your lovely little ewes?
Well, and they were going to destroy them all so that they could cut off their heads, take a brain tissue sample out of an area called the obex, and test them for a possible scrapie infection.
Is there any evidence that you have this terrible disease amongst your sheep?
Well, I've had the flock for 12 years. I've had no symptoms at all.
To me, the answer is no.
Well, that's my feeling, which is why I've been fighting this so adamantly. Now, they have also tested negative. The CFIA did a live test last year, actually 2 years ago now, and it's called a rectal biopsy. Now, that they all tested negative, but CFIA's point, they came back to me, they said, well, it's only 85% accurate. So we're going to kill them all instead.
Montana, let's go to the bottom line. Why do they want to put you out of business?
Their aim is to eradicate scrapie in Canada. Now, I'm all for that. But I think that, especially with a heritage breed flock, there's a very, very different path that we can go down to find out if indeed it is in the flock.
Is there a larger agenda here, Montana?
Well, they're interested in protecting the national sheep flock, is how they would describe it, as far as, you know, economics across the border and being able to say that there are none in Canada.
We could say it's an isolated incident, except this kind of attack on small farmers is happening across North America. We all know about Michael Schmidt and the charges against him for producing what Pam Colleen calls the healthiest milk around. Folks, we're not making this stuff up. Montana Jones is a real farmer, the owner of Whole Earth Farm Studio near Hastings, Ontario. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to meet her lawyer, This is getting ugly, folks, when we come back in just a moment right here on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK.
Can you imagine having chickens and a game warden-type punk in a uniform, but they're hiring nothing but the socialist and phony environmentalist, carbon showing up and literally cornering you? You got five chickens right here. You're going to jail, or, you know, here's a $20,000 fine. This is already happening.
Not hard to tell who that is. That's Alex Jones. Who is he, Pam?
Oh, Alex Jones. He's the radio show host for InfoWars on the Internet. He's got an Internet radio show that's very popular.
Well, he's pretty passionate about this subject. We are in conversation, Pam Colleen and Andy Udman, with Montana Jones, who is a farmer near Ottawa, who is fighting this attack on small farmers, people who don't come under the category of factory farm. And this thing is getting really ugly. She had 41 Shropshire sheep, and I won't say that again because that's a difficult phrase to say, kidnapped, literally. They disappeared early this Monday morning. Her lawyer, Karen Selleck, joins us now. Hi, Karen.
Hi, how are you, Andy?
Good. This is a bizarre story, Karen.
Yes.
Sheep being kidnapped. I lived on a farm for 20 years, never heard of a sheep being kidnapped. What's going on here?
Well, okay, you didn't get the full story. There was a note left in Montana's barn.
This sounds like murder, she wrote. What did it say on the note?
I don't have the text with me right at the moment, but
I
said something about the sheep.
Montana, yeah, you're there. Read the note, if you would, Montana.
Actually, we gave the
note's actually been turned over to the police, but
yeah.
Copies. There are copies of the text, available.
Okay, yeah, Montana, read the key portion, if you would.
It's pretty short. It just says, we have taken the animals into protective custody until an alternative to killing has been found or conclusive independent proof or clear evidence of disease has been proven. This has been done without knowledge and participation of the owner, and it's signed Farmers Peace Corps.
Well, this story is getting really, really bizarre when you have sheep being kidnapped. Karen, give us a little context here.
Okay, I think one of the things that didn't come out in your earlier segment, Andy, was that the tenuous link that the CFIA is relying on to say that this flock might be infected is the fact that Montana sold a sheep almost 5 years ago now to a farm in Alberta. And then when that sheep was euthanized a couple of years later, it was found to have scrapie. So that's the link. That's why they've come back to her and said, we now think that your flock is infected.
But so, there's no evidence to say that scrapie was acquired while on Montana's farm.
That's right.
In fact, the incubation period pretty much had ended, had it not, the 3 years?
Well, it can be longer than that. I mean, the thing is, this sheep could have acquired scrapie in Alberta. It could have acquired scrapie en route to Alberta because it was transported in a vehicle that was, you know, making other stops, picking up sheep.
But the bottom line is there's no direct evidence that Montana Jones, this farmer near Ottawa, had any disease in her sheep at all.
Well, they all appeared healthy. They had no clinical symptoms. And the live tests that were done, the live biopsies that were done, showed that they were negative.
Karen, what's the larger umbrella story here?
It really does have to do with this fear that Canada's trading partners will stop dealing with us. But you know, the interesting thing is the border was closed to sheep imports. The U.S. border was closed to sheep imports at the same time as the mad cow thing happened, and Canadian sheep producers can now send sheep into the U.S. as long as they're destined for the abattoir. So if somebody wants to sell lamb into the U.S. market, the CFIA can certify the lamb as being, you know, disease-free, and then they seal it up and send it into the U.S. And as long as it's going into the abattoir or a feedlot where it will shortly go into the abattoir, then it's allowed.
Karen, I've got to bring this back to our listener who's trying to figure this all out. What has this got to do with the food we eat at our kitchen tables?
I don't know. Maybe you should get someone from the CFIA on to explain that.
Pam, go ahead.
Well, I think diversity is important. The consumer is, they know about diversity among fruits and vegetables, but what about diversity among our animal supply? And this will potentially reduce the diversity among our animal supply in the end.
Yeah, the, our objection to what the CFIA is doing from a legal point of view is that they are not exercising the discretionary power that was given to them by Parliament, which is to look at specific animals and consider whether they are a risk. Instead, they are just saying anything that is genetically like this. So they've looked at all the genotypes. Anything that has these genes, we are going to sacrifice, kill, slaughter, whatever you want to call it.
Now, I can hear some listeners say, well, it's scrapie. That sounds, it's fatal. It's contagious. It's a good thing that we eradicate it. Goodness knows when we had the bird flu thing, entire flocks of chickens were slaughtered. Why should this be any different, Karen?
Well, I think everyone agrees that it should be eradicated if possible. When you've got a group of sheep that are of the highly susceptible genotype like Montana's, and yet they don't seem to have it, maybe this is something that actually deserves preservation so that we can understand why this highly susceptible group of sheep doesn't appear to have it. Maybe instead of sacrificing them and just saying, oh, they're out of the picture, we should be looking at why this particular group. In New Zealand, they've found that there are lots of sheep that have this susceptible genotype, but they don't have scrapie there.
Karen, we have to take a break in a couple of moments for the bottom of the hour news update, but just I want to put this in the context of what is happening across Canada with the likes of Michael Schmidt, across the United States, the story we heard from Alex Jones, and now you say New Zealand. What is the big, big picture here?
I think Pam had it pretty well right. That is, it's pretty clear that the government wants to deal only with large producers. The CFIA has made it clear that they say, well, we've got the approval of all the sheep and goat breeding organizations, but I've been hearing from sheep and goat breeders who say, no, I haven't signed on to that. You know, the government wants to sort of channel everything into this monoculture and monopoly system.
Isn't it strange that this should be happening at a time when we hear so much about the 100-mile diet? Buy your produce locally. Get it from a local farmer.
Yeah, that's one of the big issues of our time. There's you know, things going in both directions. I think the public is going in the direction of, we'd like to see the diversity preserved. And the government is going in the direction of, well, it's a heck of a lot easier for us to deal with just one, you know, one type.
That's right. So they're discriminating with all these regulations, Karen. They're discriminating against small family farms, and they're very much bowing down for industry, no doubt.
Okay, we're going to have to take a short break, folks. When we come back, well, we're going to go down to Texas to find out that this stuff is happening all across North America. What we're trying to do, bottom line, is get better, more nutritious, safer food on your kitchen table. And this is a key chapter in that story. We'll pick it up on the other side of the news update right here on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK.
Now, the factory farms, of course, are extremely unhygienic, very unhealthy environments to raise animals in. And the food that we're getting from these factory farms is substandard food. It's not as healthy as it could be if the animals were outside on pasture.
Pam, you're even going to talk today about sheep being kidnapped? What is that about?
Well, on Monday morning, these sheep were scheduled to be slaughtered by the CFIA. And when the CFIA showed up at 8:30 in the morning on Monday morning, the sheep were gone. They had disappeared. And some sheep nappers had actually taken these sheep into protective custody to protect them from the CFIA.
So, can you imagine having chickens and a game warden type punk in a uniform, but they're hiring nothing but the socialist and phony environmentalist carbon showing up and literally cornering you? You got five chickens right here. You're going to jail, or, you know, here's a $20,000 fine. This is already happening.
You know, there are some people who can't handle the truth, and there are some people who can't handle Pam Colleen. 90% of the email and the phone calls I get about Pam Colleen are, bravo, way to go, girl. There's a few who just can't handle the truth. To them, I say, read today's lead editorial in the Globe and Mail. It's a two-part series, yesterday and today. Basically, they're saying that modern medicine as we know it is over because we have lost, are losing quickly, one of our prime tools in the fight against disease, and that is antibiotics. And Pam has been screaming about this for years. And what she's also been screaming about is the death of the small family farm. We've been talking about that happening here in Ontario with this bizarre incident of these Shropshire sheep being kidnapped earlier, or UNAPT, I guess you'd call it, kidnapped if they were goats. But let's not get technical. Now we're going to look at the American scene. I thought, Pam, that the story about the kidnapped sheep was bizarre. You were just telling me about the food police raiding an organic barbecue?
Yeah, there was an incident, I believe it was in Las Vegas, and it was a CSA, so it was the Community Supported Agriculture, a private function with, members of the CSA showing up for this picnic. And the food police showed up and essentially destroyed a lot of the food that was to be served at the picnic and told them that they could not serve their grass-fed beef to these friends simply because it wasn't USDA inspected.
Well, I love to talk to anybody from the Texas area because of the way they talk. Who's our next guest this morning?
Oh, our next guest is Judith McGarry. She is a farmer, she is an attorney, and she is the executive director of the Farm and Ranch Freedom Alliance. Good morning, Judith.
Good morning.
First of all, did you survive those incredible tornadoes that hit in your area this week?
Very lucky. The tornadoes did not come near us.
I have never, Judy, seen video like that of those tractor trailers flying through the air. That was beyond surreal.
We have, we're on the very edge of what's called Tornado Alley in the U.S., but a small town not far from here was literally just flattened a few years ago. I mean, whole houses torn off. All you could see was bare slab. I mean, when tornado, we can get some doozies down here.
Sounds like what the government's doing to the small family farm.
Well, and I want to pick up on some of what you were saying earlier. You know, there's a complete coincidence happening here. I mean, there's this huge interest, and we see the same thing U.S. and Canada, I think. Huge growing interest on the consumer side where people are saying, I wonder what's in this grocery store food. You know, hormones in my meat, antibiotics, mad cow disease, all of this stuff is making people nervous. And they're looking for alternatives, and you have this wonderful growth in the consumer demand for small-scale, sustainably raised food. Farmers people can know and trust and get to meet. You know, it's just this amazing movement. And if you're the big industry, and you're one of these huge meat packers, and you know, these are multinational companies. They don't have loyalty to the U.S. They don't have loyalty to Canada. They have loyalty to their making money for their shareholders. You know, if you're one of these huge companies, you don't really like this. Mm-hmm. And not only do you not like the loss of market share, which is still very small, the actual market share of the local foods is tiny, but you don't like there being that alternative because the existence of these other farmers enables consumers to go, well, if they say they're raising heritage breed sheep on grass without hormones and without drugs, well, what does that mean about what I'm buying in the grocery store?
You know the story, Judith, that first alerted me to all of this years ago when they were talking about little girls, six-year-old girls in the Philippines growing breasts at 6 years old because of the unregulated chemicals which local farmers were giving their beef cattle because it made them grow so fast, and nobody really thought about, well, what would be the impact when we eat the meat that's been treated this way? Now, your website is called Farm and Ranch Freedom, and the association is a Farm and Ranch Freedom Alliance. Who are you trying to get freedom for?
For small-scale family farmers.
But why would they need your help? I mean, these are innocent people, innocent animals.
Well, and that's, you know, what's funny is, really, for several years, I used to be a lawyer, and I was a small-scale farmer, I still am, that one at least. And, you know, my attitude, and a lot of people's attitudes are like, we're not doing anything wrong. We know we're doing the right thing. We're raising food in a way that's environmentally sensible, that's taking care of the environment, that's taking care of our customers, that's, you know, taking care of our workers, for the people who hire people. You know, why should anyone care about what we're doing? We're doing good stuff. And what we saw was simply that the big, and I really put focus first on the big industry. The big industry, I think, is using the government as a tool. It's not really government driven as much as it is industry driven. And the industry looks around and says, what do we need to make our lives easier as huge, massive international producers? So for instance, things that make it easier to do international trade and move meat across country lines in a way that maximizes their profits. And then they go to the government, and they're like, yeah, first of all, they get people in the government. They have a revolving door between industry and government. They do large political donations. And there's a very practical piece, I think, that I can't remember who brought it up earlier on the show, but it's just easier for the government to deal with, you know, two or three or four big players than thousands of small ones. And if you're a government bureaucrat, which would you prefer to deal with?
Okay, so the people who are listening to this radio station here in London, Ontario, Canada, and trying to figure out how this applies to them, why should they be concerned about all of this, Judith?
Because ultimately the question is, who raises the food that they eat? And if there are no small farmers, you know, if the industry succeeds and the large industry is the only choice, then there's frankly no check on the industry. Because if there's no small farmer to offer you an alternative, why would the industry stop putting hormones in it? Why would they stop feeding arsenic to their chickens? Why would they stop, you know, doing all of these horrible practices that end up with, you know, unhealthy food being offered to the consumer? If that's the only choice the consumer has, tough luck.
And can you speak to the issue of diversity among our animals as well?
We've seen over and over sort of through history that disease, whether it's plant or animal, loves attacking monocultures. You know, where you have genetic uniformity, it's much easier for there to be a disease problem, and once there is a disease problem, it spreads like wildfire. So over and over also, you know, people have been saved by the ability to bring in sort of unusual genetics, cross sort of the mainstream genetics with the unusual genetics, and restore health. So it's absolutely critical to, frankly, the stability of our food system. I mean, to use a very well-known example, I mean, the Irish potato famine happened because they were all planting, like, one variety of potatoes.
Mm-hmm.
And so when a blight hit, it destroyed the entire nation's crops.
And when you have factory farms, you tend to have the best and usually just one or two key breeds of cattle or kinds of potatoes, and we're more vulnerable than ever. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. They are highly selected for traits, particularly to grow fast and heavy under very specific conditions. You know, that's what the industry selects their animals for. Put on weight, put it on quickly, and do it under confinement conditions. And so you get animals that have, in a lot of ways, a lot of weaknesses. They're very vulnerable genetically. And if that's the only option, not only is it often less healthy for the consumer who eats those animals, but it's an incredibly fragile system, and it puts everyone at risk.
Judith, Pam Colleen has been screaming on this show about a lot of issues, but one of them in particular is our use and abuse of antibiotics. In one of our biggest newspapers in this country, the Globe and Mail out of Toronto, they've had a two-part series yesterday and today. Let me read you one portion of it, which pertains to the factory farm. Treating healthy animals with antibiotics to boost production. I was talking about giving the growth hormones to these beef cattle in the Philippines. Treating healthy animals with antibiotics to boost production has led to resistance, which then spreads to humans through the food chain. A comment on this aspect of the story that we're talking about, and the key issue of the factory farm and its impact on the food we eat and our state of health.
It's an incredibly dangerous situation, and the industry does absolutely roadblocks any attempt to change it. So I haven't heard of specific tests in Canada. I'm sure there are some. But here in the U.S., for instance, one group went out and bought meat in the grocery store. They just went, you know, several grocery stores, picked up samples of meat, you know, packages of meat, and tested them, and there were very high percentages, I think up to 50% in some cases, of the packages of meat that carried the MRSA, antibiotic-resistant mm-hmm. bacteria, you know, in the meat. So this meat, when people buy it and take it home, they have MRSA bacteria in their homes now.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's an incredibly dangerous situation. And I've sat in rooms, it's amazing when you listen to the industry and the topic comes up, because as far as industry is concerned, it is not open for discussion. What they're doing is using good science, according to them. And they'll deflect. So, you know, someone brings up a study that shows that MRSA, you know, the MRSA bacteria, is much more common in a factory farm. You know, you find all of these very high levels of MRSA bacteria. And then you also show that there are high levels of MRSA infections among farm workers.
Mm-hmm. Now, Judith, we talked a little bit about this story in Las Vegas about the food police showing up and shutting down this picnic. I hear stories all the time of these raids on farms, and there's a recent story out of Michigan where they want to cull some pigs, and it's simply because they're the wrong color.
It's happening all over in different ways. The Michigan story is, you know, there's a very serious problem. And this is, you know, it's interesting. The industry guys always start with where there really is a legitimate problem. There is a legitimate serious problem in Michigan with feral hogs destroying property and being a real danger.
But these are wild.
I know, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So you start with a legitimate problem, and then somehow you come up with a solution that makes no sense whatsoever if you're actually trying to solve the problem, which is these are domestic hogs that are behind fences that are being carefully monitored and cared for by these farmers because they're producing a very high-end pork product.
Judith, time is slipping away. We do have to take a short break. When we come back, we'll just have one segment in which I want to talk to you, to our lawyer, Karen Selleck, and to Ottawa area farmer Montana Jones about why people who are listening here in London, Ontario, need to be really concerned about all of this. When we come back in just a moment here on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK.
Can you imagine having chickens and a game warden type punk in a uniform, but they're hiring nothing but the socialist and phony environmentalist carbon showing up and literally cornering you? You got five chickens right here. You're going to jail, or, you know, here's a $20,000 fine. This is already happening.
Of course, Pam, we wouldn't believe that. Of course, we got the American accent going there. That's south of the border. Well, nothing like that would ever happen in Ontario. Well, through Michael Schmidt, we've learned it does happen. I want to go around the horn here in this last little segment about this whole issue of the factory farm. Summarize the last 45 minutes, Pam, if you would, in 1 minute for those who've just joined us.
Well, essentially what Judith is talking about is the fact that more and more consumers are seeking out real food from real farms. They're looking for sustainably raised animals, and this is a threat in the end to big food.
Why are they doing that? What's driving this 100-mile diet?
Well, I think every time we hear or see in the news that there's a foodborne illness outbreak, I think that makes people question the quality of the food that they're getting and the safety of the food that they're getting, and they're looking for alternatives. And the best alternative, of course, is to be able to go to a farm, look the farmer in the eye, go out in the field, and make sure that those animals are out in the sun where they deserve to be.
And you can ask him, old McDonald, are you putting pink slime in my meat? Because if you are, I am some upset. Okay, let's go around the horn with each of the guests that we have had in this last hour. Karen Selleck, you're a lawyer. You've worked with Michael Schmidt here. Now you're working with Montana Jones, the Ottawa area farmer. Your reaction to some of the things you heard from your colleague, Judith McGeary, down in Texas?
I was very interested in what she said. It all rang true to me and seemed to be quite applicable to the Canadian situation as well.
Montana, you're the farmer near Ottawa who's lost the sheep. Would you describe the battle that you are in?
Well, from the beginning, the idea of protecting the heritage breeds has been foremost, because that's why I've had this breed for the last 12 years.
Just clarify, what's a heritage breed?
A heritage breed is a traditional livestock breed that's been raised by farmers in the past, before the rise of industrial agriculture, like before factory farming. Factory farming has caused a drastic reduction in breed variety. So, you know, in the past, 15, 20 years, there's been about 190 breeds of farm animals that have gone extinct because of factory farming. So that's been my focus here on the farm. It's similar to, you know, an heirloom tomato and a heritage sheep, for instance. The flavor difference is the way it's raised in flavor, taste, texture. So the method I use here, it's really just grow slow, good, real food, really. And the genetic diversity plays a huge part in that. So my battle has been with CFIA to just take a different tack, approach in finding out if scrapie is present in the flock. I want to know, too. I haven't seen any sign of it.
Couldn't they have just taken one of your sheep and slaughtered it and tested it just to see?
Well, just because it's in one sheep doesn't mean it will be in all the sheep. So their take is that their live test is not effective enough. It's at 85% accuracy, so they want to do them all in.
Test the whole flock by cutting their heads off and yeah. Testing them. Listen, Montana, I wish we had more time. We have to wrap this up. I want to give the last word to Judith. Judith, would you put this all in a little box and put a little bow on it for us so we have a great takeaway? What should we take away from the conversation over the last hour?
If the folks out there want to have a choice in what they eat, they want to be able to have a voice in whether there's antibiotics and hormones in their food, if they want to be able to choose something other than simply what grows fastest, biggest, and best under horrific confinement conditions. You know, they need to care about small farmers, and they need to be active in supporting farmers like Montana and pushing the government and saying it's not good enough to just listen to big industry. There's going to be payback from your voters if all you do is listen to the big industry.
Judith, so kind of you to join us. I appreciate your time all the way from Texas.
Oh, my pleasure.
And keep an eye on the sky. I understand there are going to be more tornadoes. Montana, very kind of you to join us. All the best in your battle to get your sheep back.
Thank you very much. And well, actually, I don't want them back because then they'll kill them. So hopefully someone's looking after them.
Oh, my. Well, keep up the good fight. And Karen, thank you for joining us this morning, as you have along the way with Michael Schmidt. How's Michael doing, by the way?
Last I've heard, he's fine. There's a little bit of delay in his appeal going forward, but things are perking along.
Okay, and so you're representing him in, as he faces these charges?
Well, yes, we're now at the Ontario Court of Appeal, or at least we're seeking leave to go to the Ontario Court of Appeal.
Okay, and remind us of the charges he's facing?
Well, he's already been convicted of distributing raw milk.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Distributing raw milk.
Oh, how dangerous.
I'll be looking for his poster at the post office. Yeah, and it's not ironic, because someday we're going to have his poster in a Hall of Fame when it comes to the fight for good health. Thanks, Karen.
Thanks, Karen.
Wrap it up for us, Pam.
I think I'll wrap up by giving out some websites here, because I'm sure people are going to be curious to follow up this story. Montana Jones, her website is www.wholeearth.com. Karen Selick, who is the litigation director of the Canadian Constitution Foundation, her website is Karen Selick, SELICK.com. And Judith's website is www.farmandranchfreedom.org.
Okay, and Pam Killeen's website is?
It's Pam Killeen, KILLEN.com, and I have some classes coming up at the Central Library on April the 14th. I'm teaching How to Fix a Broken Brain, and on April the 28th, I'm teaching Simple Solutions for Bad Digestion, and I'm also going to be speaking at the Total Health Show in Toronto the weekend of April 20th.
You're absolutely amazing, and we're very fortunate to have you, and take a bow for that lead editorial, which you've been screaming about, the lead editorial in the Globe and Mail yesterday and today. The first edition was called The Revenge of the Microbes. Today's edition, How to Say No to Too Much Prescription.
Mm-hmm.
Does that sound familiar?
Sounds very familiar.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Folks, 11 o'clock news update in...